Hello, this is Johnny Beaner. I am a hilarious comedian, and you are listening to Christopher Olsen's podcast, You Don't Say, coming to you live from the basement in Silence of the Lambs. It truly is the Breakfast of Champions.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the You Don't Say podcast. I am your host, as always, Christopher Olsen. Glad to be back. Glad to be here. New episode for you, episode 100 of the podcast. Yes, it's finally occurred, triple digits, 100 episodes, indeed. This is a special episode, in a sense. I had a chance to sit down and have another conversation with a podcast regular, my podcast regular, and actually, you know, a podcast regular in general, a podcast savant, a podcast veteran, and wonderful comedian, and a fine gent who's become actually a very good friend, Dave Landau. Dave was in town, and I had some free time scattered up amongst a couple of shows. He was at the Skyline Comedy Club, and I had a couple of other dates around the general area. But Dave was nice enough to come over, chat. We had a nice lunch after, and you can listen to Dave now every day. Monday through Thursday on the Compound Media, the Anthony Kumis show with Artie and Anthony, and Dave is now the official third mic on that show. So very cool stuff happening for Dave, and well-deserved, and it was a blast. Great to catch up. He's got a couple of thoughts here that really this is essentially Dave and I just really kind of We were having coffee, and then we had some lunch, and it's the same dialogue. A lot of people ask, like, well, what do you talk to people about? Like, this was pretty much it, just things that are happening in the world, things that are happening with us, and our thoughts, things of that nature, and we make good light of it. So hopefully you enjoy this. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed hanging out with Dave. He's got a lot of things cooking right now, a lot of irons in the fire, if you will, so catch him. On Compound Media, be Eastern Time 4 until 7, I believe it is, daily, Monday through Thursday, so you know what I'm getting at. Anyway, catch Dave when you can, see him whenever you can, and give him a listen, and give us a listen, and a like, and a share, and a heart, and a retweet, and whatever else you'd like to do. So please enjoy my conversation with Dave Landau. Enjoy. Yeah, I was in Madison last week, and brought...
What's a last name? Sing.
Madison Daniels. It's Stormy's sister.
Oh,
it's,
yeah?
Yeah.
I hear she's heavy set.
She's kind of a big one.
Is that right? How big is she?
She's so big, it took me 3 times to roll her over to find the gash.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It's a big broad.
It's a big one.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people in her. Anyway.
So big, she lost a foot to type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
She's so big, her doctor uses the word morbidly.
On a regular basis.
She's so big, her parents believe they failed and cry when they visit her. She's so big, she's grafted to a couch. Have you ever seen that, where fat people get so big,
yeah,
they're grafted to furniture?
The 600-pound life, there was someone that was attached to their sheets. Or like the sheets were attached to them because of bed sores.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they couldn't pull the sheets off.
Right.
So they had to lift this woman with
and
a crane through a window.
Yeah, that's not fair that they should have Superman disease.
That's right.
Christopher Reeves had bed sores.
That was good bed sores, though.
Yeah.
He
fell off, of a pony.
Yeah, he fell off a pony.
Yeah, he giddy up.
It's not a good cowboy life.
Giddy
apparently.
Up, me and my sawed-off shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
That's his song.
Yes.
It's Ghetto Cowboy.
Ghetto Cowboy.
That's what they were playing when Christopher
Reeves fell off the horse.
You better fall, Reeves, fall. Fell while doing a jump. I don't think people should ride horses anymore.
I don't.
I feel like if you even have the money to be an equestrian, you're an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Like
the
even,
money that that...
Even if you have money to wear a big hat and sit at the front row at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
Kind of makes you a dick.
It does. And I, bless her soul, I had a very good friend. She passed away. One of the things she wanted to do was go to the Kentucky Derby. But she just wanted to go to see it.
And she, you know, she died before she could?
Yeah. Like,
it's the saddest story I've ever heard.
My point is, she wanted to go. And she had the cancer.
She had a very attainable goal and dropped dead.
Yes. No. She was a sweetheart. But she just wanted to go, and all she wanted was like the fourth, fifth deck. No, it's like the fourth or fifth deck just to go see this parade of people.
I would have bought her ticket, had you told me.
Yeah, we did like a comedy fundraiser for her.
Yeah. Was she a comedian?
No, but she worked at the local club years ago.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would I know her?
Probably not.
Okay,
probably
not. Okay, a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But anyway,
I've been coming for a decade.
Yeah, you probably ran into her.
Been coming since I was 13.
Pow!
Get it?
I get it.
Oh,
hello,
my penis.
Oh, my wiener. Ooh.
Zing, zing, zap, zoo.
No, she was. Point being, she didn't want to be in the front melee of all the rich fucks.
Right.
She just wanted to go to watch the rich fucks and watch the actual race, because she loved gambling on the ponies, too, which was kind of
neat.
So, yeah, yeah.
No, a lot of people play I've never actually bet on a horse race.
Really?
But I've been to a horse race.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one not even too far from my house in Detroit, or Novi, Michigan. And
no shit.
Yeah, there's actually, I think it's Northville Downs. So Northville
Downs
is right by. And all the horses have special needs. No, it is called Northville Downs. So. Zing. Yeah, so that's, but I've never actually bet on a horse. I have lost a lot of money gambling at points in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm not even an addictive gambler.
Yeah.
I just don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I usually would lose. Actually, to be honest, I would play roulette and I would win.
That's like my go-to.
Yeah, and it's not like I win a ton, but I mean, I was even playing with my buddy Derek in Vegas, and I think I won like 300 last time.
Yeah.
So I was feeling that luck, and I sat down and I won. I started with 200, then I was at 1,200.
Holy shit, that's
And I was just feeling the vibe and everybody going crazy, so I pushed in all 1,200.
Oh, fuck.
And it hit red.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
And
I always bet on black because of Wesley Snipes and Passenger 57.
That's right.
Honest to God. And, I completely, I was just sitting there like, oh, my God. Like, people will tell me, like, oh, you know, you technically only lost $200. I'm like, no, I lost
$1,200.
I had $1,200 that I then no longer had.
Exactly.
We can candy coat it and say I started with two.
Right.
But ever since then, man, I just won't gamble because I felt that little part of me that's self-destructive be like, hey, Dave, here's a chance to fuck it up again. And I lost $1,200 in an instant.
Do you, I get somewhat personal, but can you feel that coming on, that self-destructive,
yes.
That feeling?
Yes.
So I know you're very in touch with that, but with that, I guess kind of being said, I've always been interested if people can feel that, and they, and for you, clearly you did, and oh shit, that's why I...
Well, I've talked to my therapist a bit about it, where there's an element of a fear of success, certain things that have happened in a person's life, in my life, where I don't believe I deserve happiness. I don't believe that I should be happy. I don't like feeling happy because I'll just feel sad eventually.
Okay.
So that's a lot to do with depression. But yeah, I feel when certain addictions that I have take over, it's almost like... I'm not trying to make it sound grandiose, but it's almost like a demon that kind of is just grabbing part of your brain and telling you to do something wrong. And it's very hard to fight. And I've been able to do it very well with most aspects of my life. But there's still that level of depression that I fight where I don't want to. I don't know if it's that I don't want to succeed because I do, but I don't. I'm kind of in fear of happiness to some degree.
Okay.
And according to my therapist, very common.
Huh.
You know, I'm not alone in that.
Okay.
But it's something that I definitely am more aware of, and I try to work on. You know, and I try to work on literally trying to be happy, have self confidence, because you know that's part of it too. Is just a. Not self-confidence, but self-esteem. I mean, and I think everybody has a self-esteem issue.
Yeah, I haven't talked about it at all, but I'm on some antidepressants.
Right.
And it's
that's cocaine.
Yeah.
I saw you do it.
It's a nice upper, though.
Yeah, but it's not really an antidepressant.
It's when you got to pay for it, it's a depressant.
Yeah, yeah. Like
if it's free and I'm doing it off a stripper's ass,
then it's an antidepressant.
Then it's an antidepressant.
What's amazing is how much that's not an antidepressant.
Yes, no shit.
I've been in that situation, and you just feel rotten when you do gross sex things mixed with cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I have never. I've had sex with somebody while doing blow, and it's never a good thing. After,
yeah,
where you're like, it's like who? What am I, Ray Liotta in Goodfellas?
Yeah, right.
You know, you're just an asshole. You're like, I'll do some coke off your tits and fuck you too long with a half hard penis.
Yeah. This will be completely unenjoyable for both of us.
Yeah,
real
my
nice.
Parents are watching from heaven. No, I mean that's not with my wife, obviously. But like,
clearly.
Well, I mean, no. Anyway, I completely interrupted you opening up.
No, it's fine.
Talking about.
No, I have. You mentioned the self-esteem thing. I've struggled with that since I was a kid. But
is it because how you look?
Yeah, because you know it looks like a tire iron hit my face.
Right,
and.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, well, you know.
I thought you were in a fire.
I thought you were the double from the kid from Mask.
Yeah.
Is what I thought.
Are you not Rocky Dennis?
Yeah.
I thought this was the Rocky Dennis hour.
Yeah, my stepdad is he's Sam Elliott.
My stepdad is the moon. or my dad is the moon.
My mama's Cher, which is really nice.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, you do, you have certain self-esteem issues, which I think, do you seek therapy?
Yeah, I have. I haven't now had a session in about a year, but, it's just memorization of, what's helped a lot has been comedy, quite frankly. It's helped a ton.
Yeah, comedy is something now, too, where that I get into stories. I even told a new one the other night about, a crocodile while doing blow and, the dealer having a gator.
Right.
And there's stuff that's coming out more that I think I was afraid to talk about before.
That's what I'm running into is I didn't want to talk about certain things, and now I really don't. I don't want to say I don't give a shit because I'm still filtering it, you know, of what I want to talk about and how to properly get it out for, you know, the laugh. But, yeah, there's a lot of things in life that I'm really now, I'd say over the last year, that I'm really starting to push out there more so than I ever did before. So.
Right. No, absolutely. And I just think it feels better in that sense. And it's weird how I always thought that comics who were like, oh, it's a form of therapy on stage. I always thought that was such a jackass thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, this is my therapy. It's like nobody paid to hear your problems. And then the more and more I do comedy, it's like, no, they do.
Yes.
They literally want to relate to you on some level so they don't feel like a piece of shit.
Yes.
And some people may just want to hear jokes or whatever, but they'll find that in there too, as long as you're doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find that ever since I started talking about being in a mental hospital, being an addict, doing like almost every show, somebody comes up to me and is like, oh my God, I was there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some level of real connection now that I feel that I'm making that I never did before.
That's cool.
A nice thing, you know.
That is nice.
And I just did This Is Not Happening for Comedy Central, and it felt like because I was able to do true stories on TV, that it was some kind of reward that I was going in the right direction. So I think if you're doing that, I think that's the right way to, not that it has to be stories, but even when you open up about a personal thing and make it funny, because I found that now my whole act is, it's really just inverted insecurity pushed outward for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard because I am an introvert, but my body is to, or my body. My body.
Look at my body.
Look at my body sweat. Gonna make your body rock. Gonna go ahead. Look at that black cock. My favorite song.
Right.
It's from a band called Jungle Penis.
Ooh.
Let's cut out everything I just said.
It's fine.
No, I know, I'm kidding. Make your body rock. Make your body sweat. Go ahead and make that pussy wet. It's bleeding.
It's bleeding now.
What I'm seeing is your pussy bleeding from the wrecking I gave it.
Some good wreckage.
Bashing it in like a 90s, 40s catcher's mitt.
That's some tan leather.
That is tan leather back then. Ty Cobb.
That's...
Good man.
Good man.
Good man. I love baseball players from back then because it's just like, here's Babe Ruth with a cigar in his mouth, half drunk with syphilis.
Yes.
And
yes.
This one comes out of the park. Mainly
right.
Because the infield is 14 feet.
No shit.
Look at all these old white men with no athletic ability play each other.
Look at him go. He's slowly rounding second.
Here comes Jackie Robinson. Oh, my God. What have we been doing for the last several decades?
No shit, right? Oh, my God.
The athleticism is insane.
Natural talent. Look at that.
Here is Ty Cobb, who is sharpening his cleats to keep his job.
Right.
He's hoping to take out ankles. Yeah, dude, it's just... Even the Boston Red Sox, like, they were indentured servants, or Boston, Chicago White Sox.
The White Sox were.
Where they rigged the games, yeah. You know, because they were making such little money as professional athletes.
They were making more from the bookies.
from the bookies and gambling on themselves.
Right.
Where you have Al Capone, who's just like, yeah, we're all going to lose a game. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Okay. I make $15 a game.
No shit, right? So then they ostracize these guys. I think it was the 09 or 06 or 09 White Sox. And it's the movie Eight Men Out.
I love Eight Men Out.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen's finest, one of his finest roles.
Cusack. I liked Cusack.
Cusack's great in it, too. Yeah.
Cusack's good in anything. He's a good
Eight Men Out,
dude.
Though, is one of the movies I would watch a lot as a kid, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I watched, as a kid, I watched Eight Men Out and then Bull Durham, I don't know how many fucking times.
Then, Field of Dreams, which I watched
Field
recently
of Dreams.
And is not good. And
the storyline is, okay.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's...
Like, we watched it because, like, they even, like, my dad, after he died, he was a baseball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a field called Tom Landau Field, and they call it Landau's Field of Dreams in Detroit.
Yeah, I remember
saying
that.
You know,
we
grew up with a lot of baseball,
right.
A lot of that stuff in my family. That's why I actually have a baseball with his name on it tattooed on my arm.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, like, yeah, but I'm the same as you. I just grew up with... But I loved Major League, I think, more
that
than
was,
any of them.
That was the next movie I was going to. Was that one just... It just blew my mind because you had, you know, this obscure comedy of them putting these, you know, ragtag players together.
Well,
and it was
the
hilarious.
Weirdest casting, but it works.
Right.
It's Corbin Burnson.
Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes.
Who's Willie Mays Hayes.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Which is just and the guy who plays the coach is the absolute best.
Yeah.
Every time we win a game, we peel a piece.
We peel a piece off.
Yeah, it's just, that's the reason why I like the Indians.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I don't like them anymore, but I did like them.
You did like
them,
I
used
right?
to love them. I would go to Progressive Field, and then I did a private show for them.
Oh.
Actually, I shouldn't say I don't like them, because I did like them, but I showed up to a club, and I didn't know I was doing a corporate show.
Okay.
And it was the Cleveland Indians. And
holy shit.
It was not the team, but it was everybody who worked in the office.
Yeah, so it's management office.
And I was like, you know, just feel them out or whatever. And people in front of me are being dirty or whatever. And I went up, and one guy in the front was the pastor.
Okay.
And this was this year. And I go, what do you do? He goes, well, I pray before the games. And I was like, well, you certainly didn't pray very hard last season. Or I said during the series,
right?
Because they lost every game.
Apparently,
I wanted them to win. Like, I like the Jake or Progressive Field. Like,
yeah.
I really do like the Indians. Yeah. They're like my second favorite baseball team. And then there was a guy in the front, and he was with two kids, like not kids, but like teenagers.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is a ballsy move in the days of Kevin Spacey, you know, stuff like that. And
that's great.
And then there was a guy who was in charge of. He was in charge of food for all the concessions.
Concessions. Yeah.
And I was like, what are you, I go, are you getting into that gluten-free crap? And the guy's like, yeah. And I'm like, what idiot would want you to have gluten? Like, who goes to a baseball game
right.
and is like, I need gluten-free hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I need health food. And the dude's dying laughing.
Yeah.
So after, after the show... I found out the guy in the front is essentially like the owner.
Really?
Yeah. And apparently his wife is the one who wants the gluten-free stuff. So apparently I had called him a pedophile and made jokes about how dumb the gluten-free thing is.
Yeah.
Even though it's like I don't even care. Like
right.
I don't actually have any stance against gluten. If you want to be gluten-free, go for it. I just thought it was a funny thing to riff on.
Right.
So everybody has a great time, but the woman who booked it was furious.
Really?
At me. Yeah, like everybody's saying great show, all this stuff. Then she comes up to me and the other another comic, this girl, and is like, well, I certainly feel that you crossed a line. And I said, well, I didn't, you know, if you wanted something specific, I could have known a little more in advance and put it together for you. I right. certainly wasn't trying to offend you or bother you. I mean, everybody else seemed to have a good time. And she goes, yeah, they did have a good time, but I didn't. And I'm the one that put this together. And I was like, all right, well, so I should say I like them, but whoever is in charge of their corporate parties yeah. is a real see you next Tuesday.
I like that.
And she has a nice, yeah, she had a really nice fucking Molly Ringwald. And she had, she I wouldn't even say it was that. I would actually say, let's cut that part out. She had a Lloyd Christmas Dumb and Dumber haircut.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like she had a Northville Downs haircut.
So, Northville Downs.
So she yeah, she definitely, but you know, and it's one of those things where I don't, my goal is to never set out to offend anybody, especially at a private show. Right. And the venue I did is one of the best clubs in the country, some of the nicest people, and I wanted to do a good job for them. And I felt bad after because I'm like, I thought this was a more of a club show. I thought this
was. Oh, that's the venue.
But the pastor loved it. Like the pastor goes up to her, this is the pastor. And he goes, yeah. This is the best show we've ever had. He goes, I don't know what your problem is. He, you know, like he was yeah. defending me. He's like, I was dying laugh. And I went at him more than anybody because he was such a good sport about it.
Right.
So, like, I didn't, he was loving it. So it's like, I didn't, you know, I think I made one joke that was an actual touchy joke towards the guy. And I looked at the pastor and I go, but we all know it's you, you know, and just kidding around. And he just died. Yeah. But it was, I thought it was supposed to be a fun, you know, well, if I'm told to do a corporate and you go, hey, be PG, I'm going to be PG.
Right, right.
They didn't say that. They said they do whatever he wants, but then the guy goes, feel it out.
Feel it out. And then I didn't like
I
it.
Had to follow the laughter. That's why I felt it out.
Right.
But I do like the Indians. I take back saying that. But I just feel the woman who runs their corporate shows.
Yeah. The entertainment director yeah. can.
Looks like a botched post-op.
That's good.
These big fucking no tits and big pancake nipples.
Buttermilk nipples.
Unappealing skag with
buttermilk nipples.
Look at those buttermilk nipples.
Oh, I put a nice sorghum on them.
How's being a joyless gash? Is that working out for you?
How's ruining people's lives?
Yeah. Well, that's the part, too, is it's like, why do you have to do, like... Why do you have to be a, like, this is my livelihood.
Right.
Why do you have to be a twat?
Yeah.
That's what bothers me. It's like, all I try to do is entertain you. I apologize.
Yeah, no shit. It's like,
I'm sorry that my humor wasn't exactly what you wanted. Why don't you do stand-up and do it in a mirror?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I just hate that where, you know, 99% of all corporate shows I've done are very successful because mm-hmm. I, in advance... hear about, hey, okay, I will write 25 minutes on your company. I do research. You pay mm-hmm. me well enough to do that. A little bit of crowd work, my jokes that are cleaner. It's mm-hmm. successful every time.
Right.
Because I put in the effort that you're willing to pay me.
Right.
You know, and that's what bothers me is when I put together a set in 3 minutes and I hope that it's, you know, and you didn't specify that you needed anything.
Correct.
Put that on you. If you say they can do whatever they want, that's on her.
That's not your issue.
And again, I was cleaner.
Yeah.
So, because I knew it was at least a company event, but I did the same thing the year before for a group of eye surgeons, and they loved it. So what, you know?
Huh.
I'm all upset now. As long as they get rid of that Chief Wahoo. That's another one. Why?
Chief Wahoo.
I like Chief Wahoo.
Yeah,
it's a good logo.
Understand. Yeah. I don't understand. I mean,
if
I guess
they make
them
Caucasians, I would also be okay with that. Have you seen that?
No.
It's just Chief Wahoo, but he's white.
Oh,
and
God.
No
I have
feather,
seen
and
it.
It just says the Caucasians.
That is great.
I'd be 100% on board if they did that, too.
Yeah.
But, like. But I just, I think, I you know, and I'm not, I'm only 1/18th Jeep Cherokee, but I feel.
Jeep Cherokee.
But I feel that. I wonder if it really upsets Native Americans or if it just upsets white people for Native Americans.
I think the current culture is that, yeah, I think it's reversed. I think it's Caucasians, feeling, oh, that's inappropriate.
Well, because I like that the Redskins were just kind of like, nah.
Right. And then there again, though, the owner, Dan Snyder, is a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's garbage.
He, yeah. So he's like, no, no.
Well, I had a thing the other day online where there was a kid who went and posted online about how a club owner said the N-word, which I don't agree with, but and was referring to a former employee, which is the worst way you can possibly.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
but God. I also looked at that and I was like, if you're looking for morality in the nightclub business.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these people make their money and do certain things because they are shady people right. that aren't necessarily great human beings.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine if he had started 15 years ago. It's like, you should have heard the shit I heard.
Oh, right. Right.
From certain club owners. Yeah. I mean, it was just part of it. It's like, well, yeah, hey, when you're done with the stripper and Mountain of Coke,
yeah.
could I get paid? You want to get paid in blow? No.
No, I'm good.
I mean, I would have club owners who would make me sit there till 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just making me drink with them and then just saying the most horrible shit.
Yeah.
Most misogynistic, awful. And I'm not saying that it's right.
No,
but at the same time, there's just got to be this element, I think, of acceptance that some people are just pieces of shit and eventually that'll shake out.
Right.
I think, you know, yeah. like, but I mean, again, I'm not justifying what they did, and I understand why the kid's offended, but at the same time, I always find it weird when a comic is offended by anything. It's bizarre to me.
I've reached the same point to where you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Now, if it's way over the line, I've totally understood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's an element of, I guess there's, everybody has that point.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine any word being that point that's not a personal attack on you or someone you love. And yeah. maybe that's what bothered him. Maybe he felt
that
it is.
Could be.
You know, because yeah. he could, I mean, I don't know if he's black, white, or whatever, and maybe that's what he felt personal attacked about. So yeah. I don't know what it's like to be called a horrible racial slur and be offended.
That's the other,
you know, so
that's the other caveat.
That's the privilege, as you will.
Of, you know, us to Caucasian males.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not, we shouldn't comment on race at all.
Yeah, no shit.
And just comment, yeah, and get rid of the what we just said. And well, but at the same time, like, we're all human beings. I think I have the right to my feelings. And if people want to argue about that and say that I don't deserve them, you can fucking suck my balls.
Yeah, and then there does come up. Issue and a point, even more so now currently, of First Amendment. You
yeah.
know, so, yeah, it may touch somebody off. Was it, you know, directly derogatory? No. Like, you know, did you mean it in a manner of...
Well, because, you know, threats are not covered by that.
Right.
And I think the problem now with a lot of people in the current climate is they now feel that yelling a racial slur at a bus stop is somehow a political statement.
Correct.
We've certainly reversed progress, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, people need to understand that there's a difference between freedom of speech and just deliberately attacking and hurting
well, yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, there's freedom
it's
of speech, and then,
too.
There's, and then there's being an asshole.
Right, so and that's really not – like, being an asshole is covered. But mm-hmm. screaming hate or doing something like
yes.
that at somebody or calling a gay dude a faggot or whatever, that is actually hate speech. You know what
correct.
I mean? And people
oh, yeah.
talk about, well, that's covered. I'm like, I don't think it is.
No, I think you're crossing the line
yeah,
there,
yeah,
fella.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not, you know.
Look at these queens across the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
like,
I don't
well,
know.
That one's a
that
toss
one's,
up. You can say
a,
that.
That's a shake.
Yeah. If I'm sitting with a guy who's referring to queens across the street, I kind of want to hear that guy talk.
I just, yeah. I'm just.
He's got a lot of opinions that I don't have, and I just want to hear them.
Yeah, I want
to. I don't like all these Marys.
Yeah, you know, these fruits across the street there.
Look at the walking sticks on this Waffle House waitress. I'd like to separate them with a vice.
And the other thing I miss is, so I've been DVRing, if that's a term, I don't know. I've been DVRing All in the Family.
Yeah, I love All in the
yeah.
Family.
So right now I had to cut it down because just that.
It's like watching somebody blow up a Sally Struthers balloon if
yes.
you watch it in a row.
Yes. But of all the seasons, this local.
Can you imagine Meathead and her now as a couple? Rob Reiner and Sally Struthers.
Struthers.
at a family dinner, taking up the entire side of one table.
At a diabetic clinic.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Just complaining how their feet hurt.
I can't walk, but, you know, for
Meathead.
70 cents a day, you can...
Dude, how funny was that, that she was the chosen
she
one?
She was the chosen one
for hungry kids.
Yeah.
Just this fat white woman walking around like, you're all hungry. These kids are so hungry.
Look at me. I had one big hit show in the 80s.
I don't know why she didn't keep going. She was beautiful, too.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that she's unattractive. Like, there's a whole lots of big women that I think are attractive.
Right. I like big butts, and
I cannot lie. You know, girls need the curves. I think they don't understand that men appreciate a little bit of a curvitude.
I agree. Highly.
I don't need no skinny broad.
You know, a
with
good
a rib
skinny
cage sticking
broad,
out.
Right. I don't want to.
Looking like a Taiwanese Asian boy.
I don't want to put my cock into an Ethiopian.
I don't want to do that. Unless I'm an Ethiopian.
Unless I'm an Ethiopian.
Paying good money to kill him after.
I have my way, and then I do my job.
I do my job.
Yeah.
No, anyway, I didn't mean, so you're watching All in the Family, which, by the way, the first, I believe, I could be wrong, maybe it was SNL, but I believe the first interracial kiss, interracial gay kiss, was Sammy Davis and Archie Bunker.
I think you're right.
Because I think, and also, Sammy Davis, I don't believe, told him he was going to do that.
Oh.
So he smooches him on the face, and Carol O'Connor, you kind of see, like, what?
That was nice, Sam.
I love Sammy Davis.
Yeah.
Have you ever read his book?
No, I have not.
Well, it's a book. It's not his book. He was too busy worshiping Satan and having sex with everyone he wasn't married to. But if you read a book called Deconstructing Sammy about his entire life, trying to figure out how he died like $13 million in debt... It is one hell of an interesting read.
Huh, okay.
And Brad Garrett, who I know real well, used to open for him. And
yeah.
One of my favorite stories is he would let everybody get something from the vending machines.
Okay.
You know, and he had Brad Garrett's waiting to get something from the vending machine, but he only has a 20, and he walks up to Sammy Davis Jr. and he goes, hey, Sammy, do you have change for a 20? And he goes, a 20 is change, baby. I fucking love that
fucking
story,
great.
Dude. Yeah,
20 is
dude. He's so talented, though. Like, if you like, yeah. I've downloaded Sammy Davis' greatest. It's insane. And I watched. It was on Palladium or something. It was one of his specials. And this dude, the diamond he has on his hand, man,
yeah,
is unreal. It's taking up like four fingers. It's a ball, and it's so big it is deflecting light, so you can barely see his face.
Right.
But dude, the pipes on that guy were,
yeah.
I mean, just the entertainment that guy was able to provide, from singing to dancing to comedy, like, I really did look up to him. But when you read about those Rat Packers, like, there's a book called Dino, it's like, these dudes were the biggest scumbags imaginable.
Yeah, I mean, they lived life, though, man. That was the coolest fucking thing.
But even Carson did was bang women and go to work.
Yeah.
That's all
he did. Do his show and... bang broads.
That's why he's married 52 times.
Right.
Because he would just be like, all right, Ed, I'm going to go bang this girl. Wake up tomorrow at 2 p.m. with a hangover.
And then I'll be in to do the show.
And then he'll do the show where he's drinking and smoking on set.
Right. Now, my own family connection was, if any of that were to air on mainstream television now, it'd be fucking shut down.
Well, absolutely. And I get that, though, and to some degree, some of it, because times have changed. But where is the, like, irreverent Married with Children? Because even, like, Married with Children was unacceptable. A woman in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, actually complained about Married with Children because it was an episode where Steve Darcy, he's touching the breast of a mannequin at an adult bookstore. And a mom saw this with her kid and complained, you know, to like USA Today or something. So the entire country went, oh, what's this show? And it became a smash hit, and Fox became a network because of her complaining.
Yeah.
So there is this market, I think, on network television for some element of irreverent humor.
Yeah.
And there are shows that I watch that I think are hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, Modern Family is a great show. There's a lot of really good shows, but, I mean, unless it's animated... you can't really get away with irreverence now.
Correct. There's something with animation that, I mean, you know, Family Guy that pushes a lot of limits.
I mean, South Park is more in tune with culture than any show ever.
Very much so. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, the only way you're going to really get away with, like, an irreverent joke that's almost I don't know, lowbrow or pushing the kid off the swing is, which is, you know, I think everybody enjoys an element of that as long as you know it's a joke.
Right.
And I think that's what we've become as a college. We're so sensitive to everything and we're so worried about, you know, the feelings of other people that we don't consider the feelings of other people. And we're sacrificing people at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
You know, for things that they've said and things that they've done. Like, no human being on this planet does not have a mountain of skeletons in their closet.
Very much correct.
We all have done things that we're not proud of.
Everybody's done something that they don't want to yak about, you know.
Well, yeah, because we're all human. I'm a recovering alcoholic drug addict, dude. I make mistakes constantly. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can live without mistakes. That's what makes you a better person, mm-hmm. if you learn from them.
Yeah.
But I've done tons of things in my life where I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to burn in hell, but as long as my son's all right, I'll be happy.
Right.
You know, and I think right now we're so focused with hurting others that our reaction is to hurt others. You know, it's like hurt people, and we're doing it on a countrywide scale now.
Right.
Where we don't respect we don't respect one opinion or ideology, but we, I don't know, fight for the ideology of things that don't even make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, where it's, well, Muslims treat women like shit. Let's fight for them. But if you're a Christian, you're an asshole.
That is an odd sort of double standard in a way.
It is.
So you know, if it's a Christian household, and you're giving your wife a good beating because the roast was a little undercooked.
Well, absolutely.
But then you're from Detroit, so it's like the Muslim capital of the U.S. You know, they treat their women like absolute dog shit.
Right.
I mean, it's just fucking awful. So we have to save these Muslim women. Yeah, well, you know, what about Stacy in the trailer park? Can we get her the fuck out of that scene?
Because it's
like fucking A.
And they're both of it. It's both of it where it's like, look, I'm not going to pretend to respect a culture that I don't agree with how they treat people, how they treat
religion.
I'm sorry, but like when you're cutting off girls' clits and I'm supposed to go, well, yeah, they don't want them to feel. But then at the same time.
No pleasure for you, hon.
The Christian hypocrisy. Like I saw one the other day where it was talking about Keanu Reeves, who essentially is like the best guy ever.
He's like a saint.
Yeah, like he gave all of his money from The Matrix to everybody on the set. From food service people. All these people are multimillionaires because he gave them all the residuals.
Mm-hmm.
He does all this stuff for charity work. The dude lives in like an apartment. It's crazy. Like the sweet kindness of this man.
Yeah.
And there's a video on it. And then half the thing is Christians like, yeah, but he hasn't found Jesus. No, he literally has found the exact definition of what Jesus would want you to be.
Correct.
Like all of you are the ones who use this hypocritical horseshit to attack everybody.
Right.
Because you believe. Like,
yeah.
It's like if you're honestly like I do believe in God. I have no problem saying that. Mm-hmm. I believe Jesus lived. But realistically, if you look at the Old Testament as any more than a very old set of laws,
yes,
that was just trying to keep a people in line.
That was written while ingesting a lot of opium.
Well, right, and it's like, well, people can't have shrimp, and it says right there, you know, man shouldn't lay with another man, and you're like, right, because it was a health hazard.
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat shrimp back then because you would die.
You'd die.
You couldn't have anal sex because if you had poop on your dick, there was no soap.
Exactly.
It has nothing. It's so transparent. And then you have this entire New Testament where it's essentially a dude being like, hey, don't be greedy. Don't be a cock. Try not to fuck around on your wife.
Yeah.
This is my whore friend, Mary. You know what I mean? Who, by the way, could have been his wife, but over time, the Catholic Church of Men has been like, nah, she was a whore.
Nope.
Whore like all of them. You know, and
that's why I like to touch little boys.
Right. It's why, because because that's definitely.
And there.
There's nothing in the New Testament. It says men. So in the Old Testament. Thou says thou shalt not lay with
another man.
An altar boy with a.
Yeah, it doesn't say an altar boy.
With a firm boy hymen. But there's. That's my problem is like they use this hypocrisy against people, and that's what drives me nuts about religion. And then you worship people like Joel Osteen, who is a fucking storefront ghetto preacher.
Yeah.
Dude, he's worth all this money. He didn't even open his church during those floods until somebody got him. Then he was like, no, I was just preparing a picnic for everybody. My mistake. The Lord. I watched an actual sermon he did where he is on stage and he has a Bentley, a fucking Bentley, a $230,000 car that using as a tax write-off. And he's going, Jesus thinks that sometimes, and he pops the hood, the engine is broken. But that's when you must open the door to your heart. And I was just like, how does
what
this whole room
right.
not go fuck you? like, it's literally this tax write-off. He's used, if it's even a tax write-off, because I don't know if they pay taxes, but it's definitely a company expense
correct.
He can use to
right.
get us to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's my issue.
And
is
the
like,
people paying for it are so fucking desperate. Well,
that's
for
what,
any
you're
sort
a
of...
room full of people in a mega church watching a dude with a Bentley, and you're giving him cash.
Yeah.
When... Does that make any sense? It's like watching a helicopter land on top of... it's like literally watching a helicopter land on top of like the Rio in Vegas and going, can you give $15 to whoever has this helicopter?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's part of that is like, you like people liked Trump because there was this element of him running on his own dime for a minute. You know, people were like, oh, he's running on his own cash.
Right.
But the same people will turn around and write this asshole a check because you think he's delivering the word of the Lord.
Right.
Do you remember Jesus having lots of money?
Nope. No, fella didn't have a dime.
I remember him,
mainly
actually,
because there wasn't currency.
I recall him getting upset with tax collectors for being greedy. I remember there was this whole...
correct.
You think,
wasn't
you,
that?
You think old Olstein is preaching that part of the Bible?
Oh, shit.
I just... it's he's this fucking golden calf.
Yeah.
He's this golden calf who is giving fake... I shouldn't even say false hope, but he's giving the wrong kind of idea to all these people. And there's this Southern mentality of like, well, we take care of our preachers. Well, that's not in the book, though.
Right.
So if you're going to believe all these parts of the Old Testament, New Testament, why are you able to use the... like? It's just, it, dude, it's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And it literally makes me sick. That guy should be donating that money to homeless vets.
Yeah, something that would...
There's 2,000 at any given time homeless veterans
right.
sitting in Skid Row in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helped by the VA, which I have a vendetta against because Agent Orange killed my dad.
Correct.
And because he died right when my brother and I turned 18, they were like, but you guys are fine, mm-hmm. even though they bankrupted my father.
Right.
But it's like you have homeless vets, you have people that are in that very church who are going broke, who have lost their jobs, who have lost their ability to raise their family,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to just keep all that cash. You should be writing those fucking checks out to all the people that actually need it and
right.
living modestly yourself if you're a true man of God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Greed has nothing to do with preaching. That's bullshit.
Right.
Sorry to rant, but
I
hate that guy.
I dig it. No.
I hate all those storefront preachers.
Yeah. And it's such a...
Well, there was one in Detroit, dude, who runs this gigantic mega church.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come into this luggage store I worked at. And he would buy these, like, $2,000 Hartman briefcases to, like, carry his Bible around. And it's just, like, pulling up in a Benz and stuff. And it's like, at the time in this part of Detroit, these were the poorest people in the city.
Right.
It's like you're taking what little they have. And I remember hearing in Catholic Church as a kid, they were talking about... the rich man, like before they put the collection plate around,
yeah.
like mm-hmm. the rich man gave $10 into it, and then it came to the poor lady, who was down to 15 cents. But she believed in her religion so strongly that she put all 15 cents into
mm-hmm.
the collection.
Yeah.
And this was a lesson. And I was like, "So you're saying these people should give you all their money?"
Right.
That was the Catholic, because the Vatican. What do you need? More lawyers?
They've already got the market on.
Yeah. Well,
on
see, we need
cover up lawyers.
Yeah, yeah. We need you need more settlement checks. Because for some
can
reason,
you please help us out? We've we've dug ourselves quite the hole here.
Right. Because for some reason you've been responsible for covering up more kids than John Gacy's crawl space.
Then every time I hear of a scenario like that, I always envision, and actually I shouldn't say envision, I hope that there's a kid out there that, two of them, what's the fucking movie?
Spotlight?
No.
Primal Fear?
No, it's Kevin Bacon, Sleepers. It's sleepers. I'm hoping somebody, you know, finds the pedophile in a bar and just dusts him.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's a fucking great movie.
And I love that De Niro's the priest, and they go to him, and he's like, okay, I'm going to lie then.
I got to lie then.
Like, yeah, they were with me that night.
Here are the tickets.
Yep.
Because he knows it's a fucked up situation. He was just, the whole story.
Well, no, he was an actual, like, I've met great priests. I've met people
who
have quite legit, not these demon ones, but people have legitimately given their life to God. And I mean, that's like... Look, if that's truly your belief and you believe it so strong, you have a reason. And I believe in an afterlife and I have a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like to believe something that strong, to give your life to it, I think is a very noble thing.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is a lot of these guys get demonized because of the actions of others. But when you watch Spotlight and it lets you know every city where pedophilia occurs,
that was a great
movie,
flick, man. Wow.
Oh, it's amazing. But they let you know every city.
Yeah.
And it's roughly as long as the movie.
Yes.
Like, my wife and I were sitting there jaw dropped, and we just had our son baptized, and we both looked at each other, and we were like, I'm just going to not do this anymore.
Yeah, no
like,
shit.
Like, it's okay to have a relationship with God without bringing them into a certain element and really turning a blind eye to something that's a very serious problem.
Right.
And when it even says 55%, which I think is a low number, of priests are sexually active.
Correct.
I go, they should be.
Yeah.
It's an absurd thing to have to give up.
And furthermore, the other caveat of it, I suppose, is, the Catholic religion doesn't allow female priests.
No.
Well, what if you did that and then allowed marriage between priests? Well, wouldn't that take away, the touching of little boys? I mean,
then they're going to go, well, it certainly would. And then, pedophilia isn't the same.
That's true, I guess.
The problem that people say, and I don't know if it's true, but it does make sense. When they're young, they showed signs of being homosexual.
Yes.
So their parents would stuff them into the priesthood.
Yes.
And their sexuality is stunted at that age.
Correct.
So even if that may not be a little boy thing, that could be they're into little girls. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
whatever it is. But their sexuality is stunted at that age, and that's why it's such a rampant thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you say that, and people are like, well, gays and pedophilia. Like, no, I agree, but there has to be some kind of thing to take motion for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you kind of look at that in the 50s, they touch somebody, that tends to create more predators,
right.
And now you have, you have a whole mess.
You got a big mess now, don't you?
Yeah, that's why I don't really support the Catholic Church anymore.
Right. No, I've...
I don't really support any church. I enjoy non-denominational, to be honest with you. I think that there's an idea of people worshiping together of their own belief. And
locally, there's a really... I've been there 3 or 4 times now. It's a non-denominational church. You just show up. It's a pretty basic setup. Just enjoy, and then you're on your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. I mean, I think a lot of our problem in society does have to do with a loss of sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I think church does give you that. And I think it's important, especially to go to a non-denominational or something like that, because like even thinking when I was a kid, even in the 80s and 90s, stuff like that, watching somebody walk down the street at night was not weird.
No.
People were out riding bikes, doing stuff, hanging out.
Yeah.
Now... Think about it. If it's 9 p.m. and somebody's walking down the street, you get like, who the fuck is this? There's no sense of camaraderie.
Right.
And everybody's hiding behind computers, masturbating to the most addictive thing in the entire world, destroying the front of their brain.
Right.
Shooting off fucking... It's true, though, dude.
Right.
Shooting off fucking dopamine like crazy in your brain. It's addictive. You're collapsing your frontal lobe watching porn.
You're right.
People are losing sensitivity for love. You see it everywhere, having any idea of what a normal relationship is.
Right.
Like, in the amount of time that we've been around, we have lost a sense of community, a sense of self-worth, a sense of respect for each other. It's pretty frightening. And it's been in such a small amount of time. And I do think that that's part of it, where it's like, yeah, we do have to have, I think, some level of God, because you need some level of love in your life. A lot of people, whether it goes from internet trolls to shooters to whatever, they missed an element of love growing up.
Mm-hmm.
They were not loved properly by somebody or their parents,
yeah.
And they themselves suffer because they don't understand how to connect with their true feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went to therapy, because I needed to learn to connect with me and find out why I'm such a fuck-up. And I think a lot of people don't want to open those doors.
Because I think a lot of folks, I think a lot of people are afraid to see what's inside that box.
Well, absolutely, because you don't know what you're blocking and you don't know what you're hiding, but what you're burying. But I've always felt good letting something out and knowing why I behave a certain way.
Right.
And then, you and I are on antidepressants and they seem to work, but I also work, there's so many people on SSRIs that it does not work with their brain chemistry.
Correct.
And it bothers me that all these shooters typically are on antidepressants or something like that.
They own us.
Yes. They literally are listening to our phone. We found out that they listen to all of our phone calls, watch all of our internet history, trace us and track us like we're tagged deer.
Right.
When Snowden came out, and half the country went, get that traitor.
Right. Why? We got to bring him back.
Yeah.
What?
Instead of going like, hey, what do you mean you listen to my phone calls?
Yeah, no shit.
We all went like, it's all right.
Ah, you can listen to me.
And then people go, the same people that talk about freedom of speech go, I'm not doing anything illegal anyway. Yeah, but it's still against this fucking document you hold so sacred.
Right, no shit.
Because goddamn you people cherry pick.
Right.
Like, seriously, don't listen to me on the phone. If you have a warrant to do that, please do. Like, I get it. Like, there's reasons you should be tracking me. But there's no reason why some dude should just be listening to me talking to my wife about her period at any time of the day or something.
Right. Yeah. Honey, I'm on my way home. Can I pick anything up? Some fucking dude is listening to that.
Yeah, if you're on the phone and you're like, oh, I bombed last night, they're like, okay.
Oh, we got to keep listening.
Listen to this.
I bet that's code.
Dude, that's what's crazy is you can just turn on my phone and listen to the things I'm saying.
No.
There's at any point in my day where if you hear me singing the most vile shit in my car because I've been on the road for 7 hours and my mouth is just moving, like I'll be singing happy songs. Like, Jay's in my basement, I'm gonna go home and rape her. Hey, everyone, let's have some jam. Like, they can just... Like, just because it's silly and it kills time.
Right.
But the realistic, like, that's crazy to me that we're so concerned about things that, and we use these arguments and analogies where it's like, it's not on your freedom. It's not against your freedom. But the fact that we even live in a country where, like, Backpage got taken down yesterday.
Yeah.
Because of, they call it sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very, very serious fucking problem.
Correct.
The issue, though, is prostitutes and escorts are not a problem.
Correct.
Every strip club you go to is part of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of spas in this country are part of it. A lot of certain things that if you deal with... Because I'll go to an Asian spa. You know why? They rub your feet.
Yeah.
And they don't look at you like you're gross.
Right. Because you're paying them.
Yeah. Like, it's like, you go to like a massage envy, they're like, ugh. But like, I got long toenails are disgusting. No, I'm kidding. But like, the reality is we are in a country that's so puritanical that we don't even legalize something that should be legal for the safety of people. Like, mm-hmm. You would rather shoot these women out on the street who make a good living doing what they choose to do with their body. They don't even have a freedom to fuck somebody. Like, sex is legal.
Correct. Right.
Somebody giving you money for it is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's on film.
Yes, that's right. That's
like, you can't pay a woman.
So if you film it.
Two consenting adults cannot pay each other to have sex with each other.
Right.
But if you're taping it, a girl can shit into a cup and two women can eat it and it can sweep the nation virally.
Yeah.
We are such a puritanical country when we wave this freedom where it's like we have so many things that are not free in this country.
Very much
and
so.
And we break it out. We talk about how, well, it's, the most free country. It's not, though. That's the problem. Like,
right.
We should hold America to a higher standard.
Yeah.
And then we look at it through this puritan. Where's the morality in that? Where's the morality in telling women what they can and can't do?
That's what has bothered me. The morality of, person being able to decide what the hell they do with their body.
When you have that element of if you don't like it, you can get out. Like, that's literally the stupidest thing you can say.
Correct, right. No.
The entire reason this country was formed was because a group of peasants didn't want to deal with the bullshit of the people that were ruling
them. They left.
They questioned their authority,
right.
Hence making a better place for people to live.
Yeah, no
and
shit.
And then when you have the freedom to question the people in charge, you can get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, so you liked being fucked.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's neat. But I live in America where I'm allowed to question the people in charge. I'm allowed to have an opinion. I'm allowed to say it out loud without getting a guillotine.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's something that we should admire about this country. But we also have to look at the things that are very old puritanical laws set into place. And even things like amendments. That's what I find amazing. Like, well, it's an amendment. You can't change it. Do you know what an amendment is?
It's a fuck, yeah.
It's a change.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to take Google the term.
There's nothing wrong with taking the amendment and going, we've already been overthrown by the government, guys. But we can just change this to, hey, your 12-year-old who's got a chip on his shoulder can't buy a handgun at 3 p.m. is fine with me.
That's, yeah.
And that doesn't make me anti-gun.
Right.
That's what I don't get. It means I'm just anti my kid getting shot.
Correct.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm also anti him getting stabbed. I'm also anti him drinking water in Flint. That was another thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's like I'm anti any sort of government hurting its people. And that's what Flint was.
Right.
It was the people in charge ignoring something, and babies and children and mothers and fathers and friends died.
Yeah. It's Netflix just did a I guess it's a full
season. Somebody told me that. They're like, you got to watch the show Flint, and I started
Flintville or Flinttown. Flinttown.
Literally, I grew up with this. So I watched like the first 10 minutes and I was like, yeah, I know.
Well aware.
If I want to see this, I'll just drive by it.
Yeah. I did have, I had a question for you.
Yes, I'm sorry if I went off on
a
rant.
No. My mom wanted to, you know, big fan. She wanted to know.
Big fan of you or me?
You.
Oh.
You, not of me.
That felt personal.
She never, no. She doesn't come to see a show I do.
She doesn't?
No. Yes, she does.
Oh, she's a sweet lady.
She's a sweet lady. At what age did you start stand-up? You were 20?
I was, it's weird. I honestly don't remember. I want to say I was 20 or 21, and I started Second City when I was 19.
That's what
But I have this very odd recollection of exactly how old I was when I started doing stand-up, because it was like right on the cusp of 21.
Sure. Okay.
I was drinking. So.
Well, so what?
That's I was an Elkie.
I love that term. He's an Elkie.
He's an Elkie. It really softens. He's a man whose organs are failing and crashes cars and has his incidents with the law and punches walls instead of a woman.
He keeps it in check. He's
yeah, you
good.
Know, he really, you know, sometimes he'll have just two or three cocktails and a bottle of gin that he keeps in the couch cushions. That's the element I never got, even though I'm a bad alcoholic, was the people drinking scope out of their couch cushions where you got to go, this isn't fun, right?
Yeah. This is I need like, a little more Listerine.
Like, at least with alcohol, there's that element of like, you know, I had a really good time. Like, like I was like, you know, you don't wake up after a night of drinking and go, wow, I got laid and that was a fun evening. There you do. You know,
right,
you don't,
you, do, yeah.
you got scope in the couch cushions. You just wake up and you're like, your doctor's like, your liver is just fucking destroyed.
Looking pretty rough there.
It's just eviscerated. You're drinking mouthwash.
Yeah. To what degree? I don't know.
But it's just not fun. Like, I was drinking because, I mean, I was trying to treat my own depression.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also, you know, enjoyed it.
It's a good time.
I would drink with friends.
See, it's a social thing.
It is.
But, I mean, anyway.
So's heroin now.
That is a, oh God.
That's what the kids do. They're like, let's go out to the farm and try some H.
She also wanted to know if you were not doing stand up, what would be what would you be doing? I guess more or less
100% radio, and I hope to get into it.
That's so. I sort of pre-answered her questions, but I said I'll ask him.
If I had to do something outside of that, man, I have no skills to cook, but it would really be nice to be a chef. But that is not something you blessed me with. I'd say rock star, but who does? I'd be a rock star tomorrow,
right?
if I had, I bought a Gibson SG.
Oh, okay.
I did like 3 weeks ago, and I played it for about a week, and I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I have no right to play this. I'm already an entertainer for a living. I have a son I can raise.
Yeah.
Put down this stupid guitar, and I return it to the Guitar Center.
No shit.
Yeah, well, why? It's stupid. How many hobbies do I need to have? I already have endlessly going on the road, writing scripts, writing books, doing stuff, you know, and like, I just want to, I want time with my son. Like, why take away another minute for for, so I can play fucking Smashing Pumpkins? Maybe once I hit 60, I'll be good enough to play a bar and have people ignore me.
Right.
So I just, you know. But yeah, it would definitely be radio. But I mean, if it was anything outside of entertainment, I'd like to own a homosexual cupcake store.
That would
in a gentrified area.
You're right.
You know what I would own? I'd probably own like a pet salon because I love dogs.
That's right. Yeah,
I would bring. Yeah. Or like even a, I would own a dog daycare thing.
Oh. It would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, it's,
I would love that.
Yeah, it would be
surrounded in the greatest creature, in my opinion, all day.
Next to broads.
Next to broads.
The broads. Stings. Them dames.
I go broads, dogs. Not in the sense of mouthiness, but I go broads, dog. That's my fuck order. People.
Dogs.
dogs, people, cabbage.
Fruit. And fruit.
Yeah, like I think it'd be cool to like do something with animals, maybe be a veterinarian.
That'd be cool.
That's cool. Because, I mean, the thing I like about vets is apparently you can just have a filthy office and also overcharge for everything. Like, I don't even like watching my dog get a needle at a vet's office because I'm like, this isn't clean in here.
Yeah. Every vet, there's like this smell.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's just,
because they're killing animals.
Well, right.
I hated putting down my dog. I just got sad about it.
That was just a couple years ago, right? Or a year
ago?
Yeah,
it was like my first, and it was my first dog, my sweet girl.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had to put her down.
Yeah.
It was a bad day.
That's.
I realized that's how much I love dogs. So I was like, why have I never been sad for a human?
You're
just kidding. How weird would that be?
Where can everybody find you, as the usuals?
DaveLandau.com.
Right on.
At Landau Dave. DT Landau on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Hog Marley on Grindr.
Hog Marley.
Tits Ruth on Adult Friend Finder.
That's right.
I'm trying to think of what other things. Please follow me on Twitter. My Facebook page is filled up right now, but I'm going to be making a fan page. Everybody's up my ass about that.
Yeah.
Personally, I remember my dad saying to me when I was 17 and I had a pager for drugs, he was like, there's just too many ways to get a hold of people now. And I think if he would see the world.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yes.
You can't go 11 feet without something going off and somebody getting your attention.
Right.
I seriously sit in my basement and watch movies with my phone off, and it's the greatest hour and a half of my life.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I had to throw that in there, but...
No, but you're right. God.
Please follow me on Twitter, Landau Dave. And, yeah.
And what you got coming up, you're on A&A again?
The 16th of April, I will be on the Artie and Anthony Show, making God knows whatever number appearance. the 17th, I will be back on Jim and Sam to redo that one. Later on that night, I will be on the Robert Kelly You Know What Dude podcast.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then the 18th, you can catch me Morning with Bill Schultz. And his new sidekick, I forget her name. She's very good. She used to be a correspondent on Fox.
Oh, cool.
There in New York, and she's very good. If you want to listen to any of those shows, please. And also, please check out my This Is Not Happening.
Yes.
You can watch it on YouTube or ComedyCentral.com.
It's fantastic.
Thank you. And it's true stories from my life, and it was the first time I got to really tell... really put it in the way that I was proud of and put it out there and talk about something that happened in my life that was very embarrassing. And I'm really proud of it, so please check it out.
Check out The Penis Master.
The Penis Master. We should have named it Penis Master and not Wolf Master, but I didn't want to give...
right.
I
didn't want to
give
it away.
So much away. But then this girl named her is Meth Pee, and it's fantastic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, it's really good.
It's so good.
I think she had it hands down of the season. Like,
yeah.
I really think it's just a fucking great story.
Oh,
and
so
Jessa
good.
Reed, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Hers was a great story.
I see, Kelsey Cooks just hit.
Kelsey's a friend
day.
Of mine. Hers is very good. Like, I got it. I'm putting Jessa's above mine, though. When you're done watching mine, watch Meth Pee. I even wrote her because as a recovering addict, I was like, I just want to say, like, how much I admire the courage it took you to talk about that, put it out there as funny as you did, because you're talking about, she's talking about getting high off of drinking her own meth
piss.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and to really, like, the idea is funny, but to make it as funny and relatable as she did.
It was amazing.
I mean,
like,
I really,
just,
yeah, yeah. It was a fucking
God.
Fantastic story. And I immediately felt not as good about mine.
Yeah, well.
No, but I was very proud of mine, so.
It should be.
Yeah,
should be.
I think I'm number two or three of the season.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping in, man.
Well,
Jay,
I'm like four.
Four? Number four.
Four? I don't know what it is.
I always like using the term
I
four.
I had a real nice bag.
I got a nice bag you can clean. You
want to clean my sack?
You want to clean? Hey, I got a
all
nice
all you
got to
do
can-
is pump this gun and it gets clean.
Thanks, man. Let's get something to eat.
Okay.
Hey there, this is Moidel Harrison. You're listening to You Don't Say. Also, check out my book, Just Because I'm Ugly Don't Mean I Don't Get Horny.
Hey, Ma, what's with the wash machine?
Listen, I told you. I've been watching my stories on it.